Well, the world has gotten complicated. We all know that. Arguably, it's gotten so complicated that even the smart people at Apple or at Toyota don't really understand everything either. That's right. Many operating systems in this country have gotten so complex that no one person really gets it. In July 2015, the New York Stock Exchange went down, and we all know it's because of some glitch was responsible. Precisely what? We don't know. Or those Toyota cars that accelerated uncontrollably? We're still not precisely sure what that was all about either. Fortunately, we have a complexity scientist with us today to help us with all this. Samuel Arbesman is a scientist in residence at Lux Capital, a science and technology venture capital firm. His first book, The Half-Life of Facts, examined how knowledge changes over time. He lives in the Kansas City area. And Sam, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thanks so much. Great to be on the show.
Simply put, you're saying we're already surrounded by technological systems that we can't ever hope to completely understand. Do I have that right?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think many of us recognize that technology is becoming more and more complex over time.
Mm-hmm.
But increasingly, it's not just that the everyday person doesn't understand how the iPhone works. It turns out that no one fully understands all the technologies that we're building, even if you were one of the people who was involved in its construction or even one of the experts who works with these on a daily basis.
Yeah. Does that mean we're doomed? Because some folks are going to assume that's the case, that all this technology is simply getting away from us.
So I think there are many people who feel a little pessimistic in the face of not understanding these technologies, in the face of incomprehensibility.
But you're not.
I am not. I would say, an optimistic person by disposition. So I think that there should be ways of at least meeting these technologies partway or halfway. I think there are methods of understanding these technologies, even a little bit.
But we're a controlling society, and you're saying things are getting out of control.
Not fully out of control, but I think oftentimes we think we have a good sense of control until we're confronted by the bugs or the glitches. And then we realize that there's this mismatch between how we thought the system would work and actually how it does work. And ideally, our goal is to make that gap as small as possible. But there's always going to be a gap.
Well, if you're the driver of one of those Toyota cars that begins to speed uncontrollably, you're out of control.
Yes, and I think that can certainly be very concerning if you're involved in one of these technologies where something could be going wrong at any moment. But I think we have to recognize that, there's a concern about people are talking about a concern about self-driving cars as well, and frankly, regular driving cars, even if they are not subject to glitches, they're still subject to the fact that we don't fully understand our brains and all the irrational decisions we're making. So I think we're never going to fully understand our technologies, but we're never going to fully understand ourselves either. So that's kind of a certain level of humility.
That's interesting. What happened in the case of those Toyotas that began to speed uncontrollably? What did we ever find out? Do we know today? Because it sounds like we don't fully understand it.
Yeah, so I don't think we fully understand. When these cars began speeding out of control and crashing, in some cases, people actually dying. Initially, I think people thought that maybe it was sticky gas pedals. Turned out that not to be the case. And then there was the other idea that people thought it was
the floor mat.
Floor mats, floor mats were kind of sticking on the gas pedals.
Yeah.
And it turned out that certain of the cars that were having this problem did not actually have detachable floor mats. And so they realized that wasn't also the issue. And so through looking at the technology, in this case, looking at the computer code that controlled the car, because nowadays, cars are not just very complicated machines. They're essentially computers on wheels. And looking at this code, people realized that I think they actually never realized what the specific reason for the flaw was. They just realized that there were a number of design decisions, in this case, poor design, making it more complicated than it needed to be, that made it almost this inevitable result of massive complexity within the code that no one could ever understand what was going on, and almost made it that these kinds of things are just going to happen. And so it was more likely than not that the code was responsible, but no one's entirely fully certain why.
Because you're shaking people up here a little bit. Things that are going to happen that are out of our control, we still don't know exactly what happened to those cars. And most people are going to assume that, oh, yeah, we figured that out a long time ago. But you're saying we don't really have a very concise handle on it yet.
Yeah, I think when computer software becomes big enough, or kind of any sort of technological system becomes large enough, and there's a huge number of interacting components, as well as those components creating a certain amount of feedback, there's never any full certainty of what's going on in those systems. And it really comes down to the fact that there's a mismatch between what our brains are good at thinking about. In this case, fairly simple systems with a few number of parts that might interact, and the way we build our technologies. Our technologies are orders of magnitude more complex mm-hmm. than the kinds of things that our brains can deal with. That being said, I don't want to scare everyone. And there are ways of understanding our technology. I'm happy to discuss those. But I think, we have to recognize at least more explicitly that we are in this realm of incomprehensibility, that our technologies, many of them, the ones that we deal with on a daily basis, are just not fully comprehensible any longer.
That's just amazing. You write this, Sam, we already see the endpoint toward which we are hurtling, a world where nearly self-contained technological ecosystems operate outside of human knowledge and understanding. I mean, that just has enormous implications. I mean, doesn't it, such as you write here, more and more days when the stock market might be shutting down for a while?
Yeah, and so certainly actually related to the financial systems, and we see many instances where these high frequency trading systems are trading amongst themselves at speeds far faster than any human can anticipate or deal with, and so we are almost on the sidelines in certain ways. And obviously we built these systems, and so we have input to a certain degree. But things are happening far faster and causing us to not be able to fully control them any longer.
You point out that when people are faced with such massive complexity, they tend to respond with either fear in the face of the unknown or with this reverential attitude toward it all. You don't really like either response. Why not?
So both responses, essentially, they cut off questioning. If you're so afraid of technology that you really can't process it well, then you're not going to be able to further inquire into what is actually going on, how to actually understand it. And the same thing, I think, is when you the same thing ends up being true when you're looking at an algorithm and think it is much more perfect than it actually is. The algorithms and technologies that we build, they're not perfect. They're not built by perfect beings. They're built by humans. They're messy. They're complicated. They're not great. And I think they can be understood at least part way. But unfortunately, both extremes end up cutting off that questioning, trying to actually understand the system as it is.
No, you're not doomsday at all about this, as we just mentioned. In fact, you say that people just need to wrap their arms around the idea that technology is at root, you know, messy and imperfect. Doesn't that run sort of counter to our determination to completely understand our world? Because, again, some people are just going to struggle with this, Sam.
I think some people might struggle with it. But I think when we think about the terms we use to describe these technologies, they're messy, they've evolved over time, they almost have this organic level of complexity. I view it as, let's maybe actually take this analogy seriously. If our systems are approaching a biological level of complexity, maybe what we can do is look at how biologists understand living organisms around us and ecosystems and try to understand them. And I think it's the same kind of thing when you look at an entire ecosystem or a living organism. We don't fully understand these things. They're enormously complex and beautiful and ornate and intricate, but we can still understand them. We have the entire biological sciences to understand these things. And I think we're going to need that same sort of approach when understanding our technologies to use the same sort of ways that biologists approach biological systems or entire ecosystems and use those to understand our technologies, maybe bits at a time or kind of piecemeal, before we can ever understand the thing in its full and entire shape.
Samuel Arbisman is my guest. His new book, Overcomplicated: Technology at the Limits of Comprehension. Let's talk about this recent Delta glitch, you know, a couple of weeks ago. I mean, thousands of passengers were stranded, tons of flights canceled. Turns out it was just a power failure, Sam. But we heard a lot about this idea of legacy technology and how newer programs are kind of built on top of older programs. What's the danger of stacking, you know, new systems on top of old ones like this?
And so one of the clearest dangers is when you have really old systems that are foundational for newer systems, is that the people who built those older systems are either long retired or even dead. And so you have many cases where a lot of our technologies that we rely upon today, certain cores of these technologies were built many, many years ago, even decades ago. So, for example, the IRS has systems that were developed during the Kennedy administration. The final space shuttle flight was still using old computers that are far less powerful than like a smartphone in your pocket. There's just kind of case after case where we have either bits of code that were written decades earlier that no one understands anymore, or entire systems that we now rely upon that that are still embedded within other larger technologies. But the people who built them are no longer around.
So why don't we just build a new system from scratch and avoid the layering and all this?
So we can try, and many times people do. Oftentimes, though, the legacy systems are too tightly embedded within everything else that we really have to actually just contend with them. We have to deal with them as they are. We can never fully get rid of them. On the other side, though, even if you try to sweep everything away and start from scratch, oftentimes there's just certain forces in how we build technologies. The fact that we want to interconnect everything, we end up building newer pieces on top of older pieces. The fact that we just want to have to deal with the many exceptions and edge cases of the real world that end up making things more complex. And you can see this even in something as simple as like building an application for a calendar. It's one thing to say, okay, we have 365 days in the year, but then suddenly you have to deal with leap years, and then you have to deal with different like daylight savings time and different time zones. And suddenly there's a huge number of complicated components you have to add in. And it ends up being that something you think is simple ends up being really, really complex.
And we end up with thousands and thousands of lines of code, and no one knows what it all does, right? Or simply, it's too big and too complex.
Oh, it's huge. And there's many cases where when we're building technologies, it's not just thousands of lines of code, it's millions or tens of millions of lines of code. Millions of lines of code are within all of our cars, which is astonishing, I think.
Well, where did this idea come from, this notion that the world has simply become overcomplicated, to borrow the title of your book? Where did you come up with the thesis?
Well, so I had been thinking about it for a while in terms of trying to understand the complexity of the world around us. And when I was thinking about our technology, I was confronted over and over by the fact that there are many systems that we're building, whether or not it's kind of software or computers or even our urban infrastructure. These things are all enormously complex. And one of the people who actually kind of helped me think about this was the writing of the computer scientist Danny Hillis. And he was writing about how for many years we've thought of ourselves as kind of products of the Enlightenment, when we were in this age of knowledge where we could set our minds to understanding the things around us and we would have great success. And he argues that we've moved from the Enlightenment to the entanglement, where everything is so hopelessly interconnected, we no longer fully understand the world that we ourselves have created around us.
That's interesting. If you want to join our conversation, we have Sam just for a few more minutes. 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Again, 816-235-2888, or you can tweet us at KCUR up to date. You know, you compare complex technology with physics and even with biological systems, as you mentioned a few minutes ago. I think a lot of people would naturally think of technology and physics are more alike. Why is that not the case?
Well, so when we build a simple technology, it could be something as simple as like a simple machine or a lever. These things are extremely physical and they're very simple and elegant. But oftentimes, because of the way we build our technologies, where things get built over time, and going back to the legacy systems, these things end up evolving over time and changing. They don't end up being as logical and as rational as constructions as we think of them. And so even though we think of ourselves as rational beings and when we build our systems, they should be engineered and they should be have careful specifications, oftentimes they're, to use a term from computer science and engineering, they're much more kludgy. They're kind of things that work well enough to get the job done, but they're by no means neat. They're extraordinarily messy. And so it would be almost like a Rube Goldberg kind of contraption that gets the job done, but is by no means an easily understandable kind of thing. And by and large, our technologies end up looking more like that, and they end up looking more like these kind of biological evolved systems rather than pristine physical systems.
You know, Samuel Arbison is my guest. The book is titled Overcomplicated. But one thing I really enjoyed about the book, Sam, is that it's not overcomplicated to read. In fact, you write very simply and very clearly and talking about something that's as complex as it is. People might wonder, what was the process you used to sort of pound through, I assume, any number of drafts to sort of get this thing down, boiled down to its essence?
Oh, it was a very complex, in this case, somewhat overcomplicated process. There was many, many iterations where I would try things out, show it to my editor, show it to my wife, and be told that this was far too complex to understand, and I have to go back and kind of hone it down into making it simpler.
That's hard work.
It was. It was. It was. It was rewarding. It took longer than I expected. The editing process is always always tough, but it was fun. I enjoy kind of the. It's rewarding when you can actually explain what you think of as a complex topic to someone, and hopefully in some sort of simple fashion.
How many drafts you go through? Too many to count.
Yeah. We'll say countless.
Even though there is a number out there somewhere, yeah, right?
Exactly.
Let's go to some calls. Will from Leawood. Will, good morning. We're talking with the author of Overcomplicated, Sam Arbersman. Good morning.
How you doing? Great show today. I've been interested in this topic for a long time, and I'd be kind of curious what your – I kind of agree with everything that he said so far. I'm just kind of curious what he thinks about how what he's thinking about is going to interlace with biotechnology and our systems getting so complex, and then how that is going to affect, you know, healing people. And then, you know, if you really want to get space age, this is kind of alien technology. You know, I remember years ago reading books about, you know, civilizations that grew their buildings and grew their
Let me cut you off because I have just a minute left with Sam here. Sam, how about alien technology that Will's talking about?
Well, so I think when he was talking about biotechnology, there is this idea of within engineering of biomimicry, this idea of when a system is very, very complex, take ideas from biology in order to build systems that are very that are more sophisticated than things that could be maybe more traditionally engineered. So, for example, one of the techniques is this idea of evolutionary computation. So if you're trying to create a function that does some sort of task within a computer program and you're having a great deal of difficulty creating this function or kind of creating some equation to fit some data, you can actually evolve the equation to fit that. And so you kind of take a page from biology and have this all these functions kind of interacting in some sort of biological primordial soup.
That's interesting. Samuel Arbersman is the author of Overcomplicated, Technology at the Limits of Comprehension. Thanks for explaining it so simply, Sam. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Great to be on the show.